16, please.
From the Employee Benefits Work Group, requesting authorization to amend Section 17.18 and 17.184 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to sick leave policies regarding sick allowance accrual and payout or credit at retirement. This item was referred to the committee, also to the Committee on Finance and Audit. At the November 3rd board meeting, this item was referred back to the Personnel Committee. The Committee on Finance and Audit approved this item as amended by a vote of 5-2.
Is Nancy going to come stand with the finance secretary?
Thank you.
Okay.
I will remind our committee members that we had approved this at our last meeting in anticipation that Finance and Audit may take it up during the budget hearing and approve it and get it to the board floor. That didn't happen, which is why we referred it back. In the meantime, there was an amendment. So we will review finance, the amendment Finance and Audit did for concurrence. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, as you just indicated, this was in front of this committee last cycle and approved by this committee, or a majority of this committee last cycle. Finance and Audit had laid it over from the last cycle and asked for additional information. So what you have in your packet is actually an informational report to Finance and Audit in response to their request. And then you have, of course, the referral back from the county board of the resolution and ordinance amendment. In the packet, there is one technical amendment that I'm asking and the Finance adopted. It's language cleanup to be consistent. It was a subsection of the ordinance that I had missed that talked about unlimited accruals, and so we're changing that language to be consistent with the other changes we've made. And so I would ask that that amendment that's in the packet just be adopted, whether or not you push forward the main subject, just to have it be an entire package. Mr. Session has handed out a piece of information that the Finance Committee, again, asked for. A graphic sort of representation of how sick allowance works under this proposal. The buckets that we always talk about. And the buckets are sort of generated by the legal protections related to sick allowance that's already been accrued as opposed to future policy on future accruals. Because the committee has already approved this once, I'm not sure how much detail you want. I'm happy to talk about it more or less. I guess I'd look to the chairman for guidance on that.
I think since we've already approved it, we just need to understand your amendment if anybody has any questions relative to that, unless anybody would like to raise any other questions. Yeah. Okay. Are there any questions on this item for Mr. Grady? Well, pleasure of the committee. Supervisor Rice?
Yeah, I just need to have recall where we are. Can I review the bidding of this now? How, if at all, does our action today affect the ability of an employee to use the accrued sick time to purchase health insurance upon retirement?
Sure, Chairman, supervisors. Basically, there are two policies embedded in this change. One policy has to do with how you use sick allowance while you're working here and how much sick allowance you get while you're working here. The other policy has to do with what you can use sick allowance for at retirement. The first policy is to create a cap of 960 hours going forward, from January 1 going forward, on the accrual of sick allowance and the use of sick allowance. Now, again, we aren't retroactively taking anything away. So if someone has 1,500 hours of sick allowance as of January 1, they keep that 1,500 hours, but they don't accrue anymore because they're already over the limit. And so you're basically creating a cap of whatever you have now or 960, whichever is greater. That obviously is a change, and that's what this amendment that I'm asking for. The ordinance talks about an unlimited accrual currently, and you can accrue 2,000-3,000 hours, whatever. So that's the first policy change. The second policy change is how we use sick allowance at retirement. Currently, and I'll go to these buckets, this little graph you have, and this is an AFSCME illustration. The dates may be different for different unions, but it illustrates the concept. An AFSCME employee who is hired and for this purposes, I'm going to talk about a post-1994, post-1993 hire. Someone hired between January 1st, 1994, and then February 1st, 2007, their sick allowance accrues in that first bucket. And because of the collective bargaining agreement and the provisions, the legal protection for that, that's paid out 100% at the time of retirement. Or excuse me, not paid out. They can use 100% of the value of that for health insurance premiums, to cover health insurance premiums at retirement. The second bucket is due to a change in the collective bargaining agreement. Between February 1st of 07 and the end of this year, sick allowance is accrued during that period, goes into the second bucket, and then at retirement is worth 20, you get a value, a credit for 25% of that amount at retirement. And then the proposal before you creates a third bucket starting January 1st, 2012. It puts more sick allowance into that third bucket if you are under 960. If you're not under 960, nothing goes into that third bucket. And then at retirement, you will get zero value at retirement for that sick allowance. So it's worth nothing to you in terms of a credit for health insurance. So that's the change, is that third bucket. Essentially the same, similar idea for a pre-94, 100% payout of sick allowance accrued up to February 1st of 07, 25% payout between in the second bucket, and then now zero payout of anything accrued, if anything is accrued, after January 1st of 2012. The one last modification I guess I would say to you is that with respect to AFSCME, with respect to most other employees, we have what we call a first-in, first-out accounting principle. So as you use sick allowance, what was given to you first is used first, so it comes out of the first bucket. So as you use sick allowance, we reduce that 100% bucket. AFSCME's contract had a provision for last in, first out, which took out of the second bucket before you, so you didn't touch the 100% bucket until you used up the 25% bucket. So we're putting everybody on the first in, first out principle, which is, again, obviously a cost savings to the county because you're using up that 100% bucket first. I think that answered the question, but if not, you're free to answer more.
Supervisor Race, you have
it was helpful. Thank you. To your overview was great. So we're focusing today on the third bucket.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing that in that bucket that would allow those hires after 1/1/12 to use this sick leave to pay for health insurance upon retirement.
That's correct. Anything that is in the first and second bucket at retirement that hasn't been used would still be of value. But we're basically saying that whatever sick allowance you have as of January 1st, 2012 is all that you will be able to use at retirement. So, for example, if you've got only 200 hours as of the end of this year, and let's assume you don't even use any, at retirement all you will be able to use is that 200 hours. If you use some, if you use 100 hours, then you're only going to have 100 hours to use at retirement. But it essentially eliminates any value for sick allowance as a post-employment benefit starting January 1st going forward.
Thank you.
Supervisor Schmidt.
We did have, and Mr. Manske talked to us yesterday too, we had a long discussion on this in finance, and this has been going back for a few months, and this is a difficult situation, but as was reported from Mr. Manske too, there's substantial liabilities that we take away from the county by doing this too. And I guess maybe that may be worthwhile to hear, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Chairman, from Mr. Manske. And in the past, of course, we had collective bargaining, and you'd be able to vet this, and we have a financial note. Obviously, we don't have even the financial note, how many people this does affect, and Mr. Manske went through that. I thought that was valuable, and that's why I requested today to Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Manske.
I had created a revised fiscal note that I had made available, and one of the reasons that I did a revised fiscal note was to provide some detail by union and to also give some breakdown. The revised fiscal note, the last page, there's a page 6 on that, which is a table. And what I kind of wanted to refer to you was with regards to this is to give you an idea of the number of people that are now receiving a cash payout at retirement versus they can use it for a health care purchase. columns E and F on this indicates that a cash payout, there's 1,553 people who are eligible for a cash payout. The majority of those people would be people who started with the county prior to January 1st, 1994. Mm-hmm. Other unions have different dates, but the majority of those are started prior to January 1st, 1994. The health care purchase for those people who can take their sick leave and purchase health insurance at retirement with those dollars are $2,634. The reason for the a cash payout versus the health care purchase is back in 1994, unions had negotiated at that time a cancellation of the provision that if you worked 15 years for the county, you would receive health insurance upon your retirement from Milwaukee County. And so the provision was made to allow the sick leave, instead of being a cash payout, to be used to buy health insurance. So what this indicates is there's still 1,553 people. And the other thing that it shows on this page is the number of people who have more than 960 hours right now, which is the new cap that will be placed on, which we're talking about. And as can be seen, the majority of the people who have more than 960 hours are in the cash payout area because they have been a longer term with Milwaukee County. If we can turn back one page to page 5, there is a column C on there, which is the sum of the increase that is occurring to the liability. Milwaukee County currently has a liability, not an accrued liability, but in a liability that comes about each year when somebody retires, and the county has to pay this out as an expense. That liability is increasing each year by the amount of sick leave that people are earning and keeping. For an individual who is a non-represented employee, they receive 96 hours a year, as does anybody else, but their rule is 400 hours plus 16 hours for every 100 hours or part thereof. So their liability is going up by 16 hours a year in a cash payout term. Similar for that non-represented employee if they are using it for health insurance, to buy health insurance. For a... Not for a non-represented.
Okay.
For a union-represented employee, they would get 25% of that number right now, of the 96 hours they earned, which would go towards a cash payout. But a represented individual who receives cash to be used for health care purchases would receive 100% of that amount. That liability in column C is increasing by $1,080,000 a year currently. Under the provisions of the agreement that is before you, or under the change to ordinance that is before you, that $1,080,000 increase to the liability would go away in the future under the provision that is currently before you. And in essence, that number would only decrease towards the future. Now, yesterday the question was asked is how much of that $1,080,000 is related to people who are getting a cash payout versus those people who are using it for purposes of buying health insurance. Yesterday I made the comment that I believe that that number was about, you know, $500,000 to $600,000 related to the people who are using it to buy health insurance. So, in other words, about if my estimate yesterday was $600,000, I am currently looking at that to see what that true liability is because that question's been asked. But if a there was consideration or they wanted to know what if we kept it in for purposes of buying health insurance, and that comment was is that Of the $1,080,000, approximately $600,000 would still increase the liability each year, and the remaining amount for the people who get cash payout, it would just end at that time. I know it's a long answer to a question, but provided the same explanation.
Supervisor Schmidt. Thank you. And we've been around on this, a couple months ago, and been back and forth, and then, you know, the work group has done so many important things for us, and we've come to rely on them and trust their advice, because the accumulation of the best minds and people who really work for us, and it's always difficult when you see that. And so many of our most valued employees, I mean, they're the ones who are going to suffer on this a little bit because they stay in the job, they don't take sick leave, and then, you know, they don't use it. But as I said yesterday, when you look at the accumulation, where we are financially, and what we're trying to do, it's just something I think we've had to do. The county executive was asking for $240,000 to start with. You know, that's a month. This is 6 months when you go to $960,000. So I think it is generous is the right word, but significant sick leave time, and in most cases can fulfill anybody who has something that's serious. In those extreme cases, when people have life-threatening illnesses that last a long time, there still is a provision that that people can help, which has been in the case in the past, in a couple instances clearly I remember, where people in departments helped that individual with their own unused sick time to help them out, and that's still a possibility in this scenario, we've been told. So for those reasons, a long discussion, the difficult thing, we need to be stewards for this again and see the decreased liability. So I would move to concur with Finance, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Schmidt. Mr. Grady?
I'm just thinking procedurally, do we need to amend here as well before we concur?
As amended, is it Finance?
We can concur as amended. The motion to concur covers the
amendment. Okay. Mr. Mansky, do you have even a rough idea? What is our OPEB liability right now relative to health care?
The OPEB liability, which is not the same as the liability related to this earned retirement, the OPEB liability, I believe, and now I'm guessing, I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.4-1.5 billion. And that's based upon the people who have 15 years of service for the county and have earned health insurance, and that liability relates to the people who are both retired and the people who are active employees of the county.
Thank you, Mr. Mansky. We have a motion by Supervisor Schmidt to concur as amended with Finance and Audit. Any questions or comments by the committee? Supervisor Lipscomb?
Just by a related inquiry about where the work group, whether there's continuing work on the short-term disability issue, as that was one of the offsets talked about for what we might do.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Lipscomb, yes, the work group is going to continue to look at short-term disability as well as compensation in general, in the sense that we've talked about PTO policies, the compensation study that I don't know if this committee is later on the agenda, I think. It's been done by audit in any event, a compensation study. And a PTO policy, a paid time off policy, is a common thing in the private industry, not so common in public employers. But we are looking at that concept. We are also planning on talking about short-term disability. I know Mr. Hanchek has actually talked to providers, vendors out there to get some quotes, a general notion of what those costs might be. We haven't had a work group meeting for a while because of the budget cycle, but we will be meeting, I suspect, after the holidays. That will be one of the items on our agenda. So we do intend to come back, whether it will be the January cycle or the following cycle, but we do intend to come back with a report on those concepts. I would tell you, just to preview that briefly, though, that with this reform, if it's adopted, you're providing short-term disability through the accrual of sick loans. Now, obviously, for a new employee, that's not a lot of benefit for them. long-time employee it is. But any time you talk about going to a vendor for short-term disability, it's probably going to be an added cost. It's not going to be a savings. It might be a good idea. I'm not saying that. Just from a pure fiscal standpoint, it probably will be an added cost. But we will report back on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reed. Thanks. Okay. If there's no other questions or comments, we'll call the roll on the concurrence of finance and audit.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Caesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with finance and audit is approved.
Thank you very much.